looking today, continuing our series in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out to you in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Thanks a lot, Andy. Now, we're thinking today about how good it is when two people who used to not be friends, who are on bad terms with each other, make it up together and become friends again and are on good terms. I remember a time when that happened to me. I was at school and I had said something that wasn't actually very nice about somebody else in my class. And it was like there was a bit of tension between us. It was difficult. It was like there was a barrier between us. And then, I had to say sorry and make amends and make it up to that person. And then we became friends again. And it was so much better. And young people here, you may not know this, but this happens to adults as well. We have to work with other people in our jobs, for example. And sometimes we might do something that someone else finds difficult. And it's a bit like there's a barrier between us. And we have to make amends and become friends with that person again. Now, actually, it's like that with God. We were not friends with God, Paul says, but if we're trusting Jesus, God has now made us friends with him. And that's what this little passage is all about. So why don't we pray together? Let's pray and ask God for his help because we're coming to his word. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word to us in the Bible and help us please to hear what you're saying to us this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this book of Colossians was written by someone called Paul. Paul was God's special messenger, and God gave Paul a special message to give to this group of Christians who lived in Colossae. And Paul's big message in this book is, keep on going, keep going. This gospel that you guys are believing is the real deal. So don't give up, you've got to keep on going. Just imagine perhaps at school, your school team is playing against another school in a match, in a sports match, and it's half time and your teacher gathers you in your team and you have a little team huddle and the teacher says something to you like, guys, keep on going. You're doing a great job. Don't give up now. Keep on going. And Paul in Colossians is saying to these Christians, guys, keep on going. This gospel that you're believing, it's the real deal and it's really important. So don't give up. Keep going. Now, why does this gospel matter so much? Why is it the real deal? Well, Paul explains that if you're trusting Christ, then we were on bad terms with God. We were enemies with God, and now he's made us friends. We were enemies with God, now he's made us friends. So verse 21, once you were alienated from God, alienated really means that we were separated from him. We were far away, we were blocked off, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. So Paul talks here about two ways in which we were blocked off from God and separated in our minds. That's how we used to think about God. And also how we used to live our evil behavior. So our bad thoughts and our bad behavior. So let's perhaps think together for a few moments. What are some of these examples of bad behavior? What are some bad things people do? Maybe we might even start with the teenagers or the younger people. Can you think of any? Now, this could be things that you've seen other people do. Could be things that you've seen on the news. So just to give you an example, taking something that doesn't belong to us, that's a bad thing. If I take something that's not mine, then that's not good, is it? So does anyone have any other examples? Can anyone stick a hand in the air and give us an idea of bad things that people do? And Andy's going to write some of these things down for us. Does anyone want to venture a go? Swearing, yeah. So swearing or saying rude things. Thanks, Gav. Anybody else? Slamming the door, bang. Okay. Lying, yeah. Lying, that's a bad thing. Heather? Gossiping, yeah, gossiping, thank you. Do you have one over there, Hannah? Was that shouting? Yeah, shouting can sometimes be a bad thing, can't it? Yeah, thank you. Okay, so those are some really good examples. Those are some bad things people do, examples of bad behavior. Now, and Paul says that as Christians, we were far away from God. We were alienated from him because of these bad things we've done. So I'm going to wear this. Here's our board with stealing, being mean, swearing, lying, gossip. I'm going to put this on. Because Paul says this was us, and we were far away from God and separated from him. Now, we may have done these things, we might not have done all of these things, we might have done different things, but Paul says that we were far away from God in our minds because of the way we used to think about him. And thinking badly about God leads to all sorts of different kind of bad behavior and bad things we do, like these things. So I'm going to ask my friend Connor up, and the question is, here I am with all these bad things I've done, and God is perfectly holy and good. Now, can anyone tell us what the word holy means? Any ideas? Holy, it's a bit of a Bible word. It's a very important Bible word. Does anyone want to stick a hand in the air and tell us what perhaps it means? Go on, Heather. There's a little hand going up. Yeah, set apart, separate. That's really good, yeah. God is set apart. He is separate from us because he's so good and perfect. So the question is, will I, with all these bad things I've done, be able to come close to God, who is perfect, who is set apart, who is holy? Well, of course not. This means no entry. It means no entry. I cannot come close to God. Now, we all know the feeling of being perhaps caught out when we've done something wrong. Maybe the teacher has told me off at school for something I've done wrong, and we're being accused because we've done something wrong. We're guilty. So the question now is, am I okay in God's sight? Like, am I okay in his eyes? Well, no, of course not. I am.
Guilty.
I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm accused of the wrong things I've done. And we're separated, blocked off, far away from God. But I'm sure we all saw the amazing news that comes in the next sentence in this passage. So verse 22. But now he has reconciled you. That simply means he's brought us close to him. He's made us friends with him by Christ's physical body through death. That is, by Jesus physically dying on the cross. To present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And so that means that if we're trusting in Christ, in his death, in his physical death on the cross, Christ has taken this away and he's dealt with it completely. So all of this is dealt with. And that's what we're going to be enjoying and celebrating a bit later on as we share the Lord's Supper together. And it also means that he's made us friends with himself. God has made us friends with him. God has ripped apart the no entry sign. So that we can be close and can become friends. Which is quite amazing, isn't it? We've separated from God and now we've been made friends with him and brought close. But Jesus' death does something else as well in the second half of that verse. It's to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So Jesus' death gives us a new status. A new status. Like this. Isn't that amazing? Thanks very much, Connor. Do give Connor a hand. Wasn't he great? Jesus' death gives us a new status. So let me ask you, how do you feel before God? How do you think he sees you? Well, if we're trusting in Christ, then God sees us as holy, as perfect, as clean, as set apart for him, special to him. Of course, we're not perfect yet, but God sees us as perfect in his eyes because we're trusting in Jesus, and Jesus is the perfect one. And he's given us a new status so that one day, Jesus is going to come back one day very soon, and we'll be made perfectly complete then. We'll be completely perfect one day soon in the future. Now, perhaps it might just be that for some of us here, this is a really wonderful invitation that God offers to become reconciled with him, to be friends with him. And perhaps for some of us here, you've perhaps never actually received that invitation for yourself. You've never said, yes, I really want that. And this is something that we do need to accept for ourselves. So will you accept his offer? Will you come to him and say, yes, I believe in Jesus' death for me? But for all of us, we've seen that we were far away from God. We were separated. It was no entry because of our bad thoughts and the bad things we've done. But now God has brought us close to him and made us friends with him. We're reconciled by Jesus' death to make us perfect now in his sight and to make us perfect fully forever one day. So that just leaves us with one question. If God has made us friends with him in the past, and if God will make us fully perfect in the future, what should we do now in the present? How should we live now? Well, we're going to think about that together in a few minutes, but first I'm going to hand back to Andy. Jesus, we thank you so much that your blood has washed away our sin and completely satisfied the Father's wrath, that we were your enemies, but now we've been made your friends and brought to sit with you at your table. Amen. Do you have a seat? So we left it last time asking the question. So God has, if we're trusting in him, in Christ's blood, God has made us friends with him in the past. He's done that. He will make us fully perfect one day in the future. So what does that mean for us now? How should we live now? And Paul's answer to these Christians in Colossians and God's word to us today now is, well, don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Don't quit this gospel. This good news that Jesus' blood has washed away our sin. So verse 23 again. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. So remember your sports coach or your teacher in that halftime huddle. There's a picture coming up on the screen of that sports huddle together. So there you are, your school sports team is playing against another school, and it's half term, your teacher gathers you in and says to you, you're doing a great job, keep going, don't give up, don't quit. And the teacher may say to you at this point, just think ahead and think about the end of the match. Think about winning the game and lifting up the trophy. To get there to win the game, well, you've got to keep going. You've got to keep playing and don't quit. Now, quitting the game would mean storming off the field. It would mean sitting on the bench and refusing to play, wouldn't it? So there's another picture on the screen of someone who's just sitting on the bench and saying, nah, don't want to play anymore. No, I'm giving up. And the teacher says, you can't do that. That's not an option. You will not win the match if you just quit. And similarly, Paul says to the Colossians, it's not an option to quit living as a Christian. We have this amazing future to look forward to. God is going to make us fully perfect forever, and we'll live with him forever. That is the hope of the gospel that Paul talks about. The verse is going to come up on the screen again, and it talks about the hope of the gospel. And if that is what we're looking forward to, living with God forever, being fully perfect with him, well, why would you quit, Paul says? Why would you give up? Do not move away from the hope held out in the gospel. Just like you can't quit a football game and still assume you'll lift up the trophy, we can't quit living as a Christian and still assume that we'll have that wonderful future of a Christian. Now, as Christians, of course, we do
we struggle.
We struggle a lot, don't we? We can sometimes feel overwhelmed. We can sometimes feel down. We can doubt. We can feel uncertain. We may struggle with the same sins that we've been struggling with for years that just keep coming back. But those things don't necessarily mean that we've quit. These words that Paul wrote to the Colossians, well, he needed to write to them these words because life is full of temptations to give up. Now, just like a coach would get their team together in half time and say, "You're doing a great job, keep going." Well, a coach may well also get their team together and say to them, when it's a tough game, "This is tough, this is really hard work, but guys, you've got to keep on going." And if we're struggling in the Christian life, we can know that we're not alone. The Christian life is a team game. And you're not the only one to be struggling, and God has given us each other. It's a team game. And also, if we're going to keep going to the end, to play the match to win the trophy, then when we have all these struggles and doubts that are part of a day-to-day Christian life, well, let's bring them to God, and let's actually see them as an opportunity to come closer to God rather than these things pulling us away from God. A bit like a little child holding on to their dad, holding on to their mum when things are tough. So say, for example, when I struggle with doubt, how about praying? "Father God, I feel doubtful about this thing. Please would you help me to understand, help me to doubt less and trust you more." So when we face struggles in the Christian life, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're quitting. Instead, it can be an opportunity to keep going with him even more closely. After all, God is the one who has made us friends with him. He's the one who will make us perfect. So he is able to keep us going. Now, this verse, of course, does touch on a very important question in the Bible, which is, why is this "if" there? If God has saved me, and if my future is certain, why does it depend on me as well? How does my faith work with that? Does it depend on me as well as depending on God? Well, Paul says to that, continue in your faith. And the thing that's really important about faith is who our faith is in. So imagine you get the lift up a skyscraper and you go up to the top floor. Imagine like the Shard in London or the walkie-talkie tower or something. Imagine you get out on the top floor to the viewing gallery and there you are seeing this amazing view. But then you realise you're dozens of stories up above the ground, you're really high up. And that could be quite a scary thing. You could be standing there, loving it, loving the view, or you could be kind of knees knocking and quite nervous. But either way, the thing that's really important is that that tower is strong enough to hold you up, and you are demonstrating that you trust in the strength of that tower by standing on the top floor and walking around. Your trust in the tower might feel weak and very small, but the fact that you have trust in that tower in the first place is what matters, because the tower is the thing that will hold you. Now, our faith in Jesus, sometimes it may feel strong, sometimes it may feel weak, but what matters is he is the one that can keep us going, and he is the one that's strong, even when I'm not. Although, of course, the experience is a lot nicer when I am trusting the tower, and therefore I can love it and enjoy the view and enjoy being there. So our status with God is fully secure. We have been reconciled. We will be perfect. Our status, nothing can shake that. Even though our walk with God day to day sometimes feels shaky, it feels up and down. There are nice patches, there are tough patches. And actually, one of the things that God uses to keep us going in the Christian life is verses like this. The Bible is full of verses like this that say to us, keep on going. And they function as little signs, little signposts. So imagine you're walking along, say, a narrow path in the mountains, and as you're walking along, it's a precarious drop either side. You see signs every now and then. There's a sign that says, keep going. There's a sign that says, stick to the path. There's a sign that says, don't stray from the path. There's a sign that says, you're going in the right direction, don't stop. And the Bible does that to us. It says, keep going. And God is with us as well. The Holy Spirit is with us, a bit like a fellow walker walking next to us saying, do you see those signs? Pay attention to them. Notice them. They're important. So if we are trusting in Christ, no matter how weak it feels, God is going to keep us going. And he uses verses like this to do that. Now imagine for a moment that you are in this group of Christians that first got this letter from Paul. The year is AD 62, and you're living in southwest Turkey in a little town called Colossae. And you have become a Christian. You've heard this great gospel that God has made us friends with him, and God will make us perfect one day forever. And now you get this letter from the Apostle Paul saying that this gospel, this thing that you're believing, is going out around the whole world. It's being proclaimed to every creature or every person under heaven, and all around the world, people are believing it. That would make you think, wow, this gospel is the real deal. It's amazing. I've got to keep going and not quit. So as we come into land, here are a few suggestions to help us, to keep going. Maybe one thing particularly for young people here, when we learn something about God, whether it's in a talk on Sunday or a city club or at Waddlers, can we try and remember that thing on the Monday morning? So try it tomorrow. Try waking up and thinking, now what did I learn about God yesterday? Oh yeah, he's made me friends with him. I'm going to try and remember that today, and I'm going to thank God for that today. Something for the adults, and I guess for young people as well. When we come to read the Bible, do we see it as the message of this amazing gospel that people are believing all around the world, this gospel that God has made us friends with him and will make us perfect and is keeping us going in the meantime? And finally, for all of us, God's given us each other to help us to keep going in the Christian life. This letter was to a group of Christians in Colossae. They received it together. So let's keep on meeting together, talking with each other about how it's going as a living the Christian life, and praying together. And one good way to do that is being part of a home group at City. And if you're interested, do chat to Andy or Annabelle. They'd love to tell you more. But as we wrap up, God has made us friends with him, and God will keep us going and make us holy and perfect one day if we're trusting in Jesus' blood. So don't quit, Paul says. God says, don't quit, keep going. Why don't we pray together? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for making us who were your enemies friends with you through Christ's physical death and making us holy in your sight. How utterly amazing that is to be holy and perfect in your sight and to have this wonderful future to look forward to. So Lord, would you help us to keep going and help us, Lord, to bring our struggles and doubts to you. And Lord, would you help us to walk with each other as your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Back to Andy.